Welcome to this brand new episode of Your Receipts. It's the minisode where we come and help you guys with your dilemmas, with your situations.
At 9 a.m. in the morning.
With your problemas. With your issues, with everything it is that you are going through. And we try our best to give some sound advice.
Yes, like Audrey said, it's very early in the morning today. Mm-hmm. I mean, I say that like this is not the time we all used to start work, because I don't even know.
This is early. This is mad, though.
But it's still early. On my drive here, I was just like, gosh, I used to go to work like half an hour late with coffee and
breakfast.
And just walk in and be like, the trains are so bad.
Yeah.
So it's bloody, when did you have time to buy the coffee then?
Exactly.
But ma'am.
Traffic.
It's your girl, Tolly T.
Just call me Audrey.
And your mama say, Milena Sanchez.
Just really quickly before we start, yeah. So, you know, Tolly, you know, like how you dissect lyrics, yeah?
Okay.
So, there was a song that I came across and I was like, no, I actually have to like...
Oh my God, I'm so excited. What song is it?
I deeped it. I was like, no, I actually like, you have to talk about this song.
When you start deeping songs, it actually takes
no,
music
to really did. You. And it's not, I'm not going to, it's not like the best, most, you know, credible song in the whole entire world. However, it is a bit mad.
Okay, let's hear it.
I think it's reminiscent of the times of the 80s.
Okay.
But it's basically, you know that song that goes, ain't nothing going on but the rent? And I knew that I had to talk about the lyrics because that song is from the 80s or whatever, yeah? And it came up in my life twice this week, randomly, on different occasions.
Have you paid your rent?
Do you owe rent?
And I was like, no. And every time I listen to it, I deep the lyrics, yeah?
Okay, let's hear it.
So it was like... It starts off and this, and they're like, bill collectors at the door.
Oh,
what can you do for me?
Don't we know
hey,
it?
No romance without finance.
Oh.
No romance without finance.
I repeat.
Yeah, she repeats it. She says, boy, nothing in this life is free.
Sure
that's
isn't.
Why I'm asking you what you can do for me.
Damn right.
She says, I've got responsibilities,
mm-hmm.
so I'm looking for a man who's got money in his hands.
Sure is.
And then she says, because nothing from nothing. Leaves nothing.
It sure
You've
does.
Got to have something.
Yep.
If you want to be with me.
Wow.
And then she says, life is too serious. Love's too mysterious. Mm-hmm. A fly girl like me.
Fly girl.
Needs security. That and then she says, because ain't nothing going on but
the rent. Like, don't ask me what you're up to. Nothing. The rent is what I'm up to.
Exactly.
Don't ask the stupid questions.
You've got to have a J-O-B if you want to be with me.
I know that's why. You've got to have a J-O-B.
It's so mad to me.
That is
but
so
then
hilarious.
The maddest lyric, and I will leave it here, yeah, I'll park it here, is when she says, but I will have to avoid you if you're unemployed.
Did she make it rhyme?
I actually need to hear this song because...
No, you've definitely heard it.
You've definitely heard it.
It goes, you got to have a J-O-B
if you want to be with me.
Nothing going on but the rent. And it just made me laugh.
You never deep these lyrics.
I was actually crying because she said, I have to avoid you if you're unemployed.
Nah, lyrical genius.
No,
it's not just we're living in the 80s. It's very much we're living now. Like, it all makes sense. Again, don't ask me what I'm doing. I'm trying to pay rent.
Exactly.
I'm like, trying to find money to pay my bills is what I'm trying to do right now.
She's an oracle, the lady that
wrote
that.
I went for brunch. You know, sometimes when brunch finishes, you don't want to finish the night yet or the day yet.
Either.
You're like, oh, what should we do? Whatever. So we just found some random, like, bar up the road. And we went in there and it's one of those, it's like, I think it's like a Piano Works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who always have live bands in it and they're just like singing like songs.
Mm.
Wow.
They were doing some tunes.
They couldn't sing. But the songs they were singing.
Classics.
God. I was like, these are the white classics.
The white classics. What's your favourite white song? I saw that on the showroom the other day.
Bright Side is up there.
Yeah, Bright Side is a banger.
Mine has to be U2 Wonderwall.
Yeah, that's
that one.
Yeah, Wonderwall.
Oh, fucking
hell. Oh, you love it so much. I love that
song. I said it has to be.
Beyonce,
Wonderwall. Wonderwall, yeah, that's a banger.
Fergie.
Mine is definitely Queen. Don't Stop Me Now. That's my favorite.
That's a banger.
That's a banger.
Do you know what
feels like white music that isn't? It's Raining Men.
Yeah, that's funny. That's like LGBT music.
No, it's Black Woman that sang it.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely sure it's a black. Yeah,
two
black women. Yeah,
two big black women.
Yeah. So it's very
I did know that actually.
Yeah, but it feels very much like white music.
Yeah.
God bless Mother Nature. She arranged the sky so that each and every woman
could find a perfect guy. Okay, one quick question before we start the receipts yet. If you were going to be a singer, would you rather have like one song that paid you forever, like a Mariah Carey's, like All I Want for Christmas, or just kind of like songs that you released loads of songs, but they did kind of mediocre?
No, I want one banger.
I want one shot bang.
Yeah, that's going to be up and down stage all the time. Let me do a one shot bang, play it in every film, play it every season.
And there's just some
songs that are just never going to die.
They're just never going to die. Like Macarena.
It's even like Nina Simone's, I got my hands, got my head, got my nose, got my mind. And no one really knows it's her that sings it.
I didn't know it until I watched the documentary.
That documentary is brilliant. Amazing. One on Netflix.
Yeah.
I love her. Okay, can we talk about that for a little bit? It's called What Happened, Nina Simone, or something like that. But if you just type Nina Simone on Netflix, that'll come up, sort of thing. And I was watching it, I was like, I'm in love with her. Because I genuinely like her anyway.
She's a legend.
The reason why I like her so much, she's one of those women for me that feels things. She was like, I'm angry. I've got things to be angry about. I don't shy away from being angry. And I love women that just feel things.
Yeah.
Like, and be big and bad about what you're feeling. When she was like, I'm pro-violence. I said, that's her being her true, authentic self.
She's not lying.
Things. I said, Nina, you come and say this one out loud. And she was like, if it was up to me, I'd be a kidnapper. I said, Nina.
That's what I'm saying. And she was one of the first people to get cancelled. Before cancel culture was even a thing. Like, she was cancelled before cancel culture. That's how iconic she is.
She was talking. I mean, she had a lot of her flaws and was very problematic. Not problematic. She went through stuff that made her go through stuff. Yeah.
I'm excited to watch that now.
But yeah, no, Nina is. There's so many songs that you don't realize that. To be young, gifted, and black. I love her.
Everything.
But anyway, that is not the point of this podcast or this episode. But hold tight, Nina Simone, always. We're going to go into our first dilemma. And I think this works greatly into talking about feeling things.
Let's do it.
The topic is, should I stay in a relationship with no passion?
Okay.
That sounds very...
Very much so.
But okay, I'll start. Hi, ladies. I'm a devoted listener and I love the podcast.
Devoted.
I really need the advice from some older and... She said, you bitches is old. From some older and wiser ladies for this dilemma, as I'm only 18. I don't even want to read the rest of it.
Oh,
18 in a relationship with no passion.
Exactly.
I thought she was going to tell me...
I thought she was going to tell me she's
36 and been married for 5 years. Anyway, I've been with my boyfriend for almost 2 years and I adore him. We met when I was 16 and I immediately hit the jackpot. He's loving, patient, understanding, and a few years older than me. I can talk to him about things others would call me crazy for, and he's such a good guy. Love how you guys always say that, LOL. I feel like I'm missing something. There has never been any real passion or crazy sexual chemistry. At least that's what I feel. We do have sex quite a bit, and it's not one of those situations where he only takes care of himself. The man always makes sure that I come first, and he gives me head more than I give him head.
Oh, okay.
He knows how to make a woman come, and it feels physically, and it feels good physically when we fuck. But mentally, I'm just not that into it.
Ooh.
Eek. It has been like this from the beginning.
Oh.
Although back then, everything else was still new to me. And I love the fact that I was even desired by a man, especially since he's older than me. At marriage, you'd feel like you're the shit for dating the older guy, you know? The problem is also not our libido. The man wants to fuck all the time. And I have a decent libido as well. I do know that he's more attracted to me than the other way around. So I'm scared to bring this up to him. I think he won't feel the same. But despite the fact that he's really attracted to me and has an extremely high libido, he must feel that there is something missing too, right? We do always do same shit in the bedroom. So I'm going to have to talk with him soon to tell him that we need to change it up a bit. But in the end, that will just be a band-aid if there isn't any real sexual chemistry in the first place. You're answering all your questions. Something else that might be relevant to do this. I've been through some sexual abuse before. So part of me thinks that even if I fuck the highest guy on the earth, I'll still feel this way. I have healed a lot though, but I don't know if I ever fully will. My trauma makes having sex really hard sometimes. Should I break up with him and become a nun? LOL. What do I do if I still don't feel the fire of passion burning within my soul after we tried new things?
Oh.
I absolutely do not want to leave him. So I get that out of your head.
There goes my advice.
That would shatter us both. But I also don't want to settle for a relationship with no real passion at such a young age.
So then go.
You'd be shattered and then you come back together. Like, you fix yourself. Should I break up with him and go celibate? Should I break up with him and fuck a bunch of people to see if the problem's actually just my trauma? Should we try an open relationship? Don't like that last one. I won't be doing that for the right reasons. So if this is long, and thank you so much for you. She read it.
That ending was hilarious.
It's everything that's going on in her head. Exactly. It's all of her thoughts just blurred down onto the email.
These problems sound like very grown people problems.
I know it sounds mad, and like, I don't want to discredit you for that. But every time you say, I'm like, gosh, you're 18.
I was like, these are grown people problems. Obviously, in context, like, this is your situation now, but like, you don't want to leave him, but you've offered other solutions that you also don't want to do. Personally, I wouldn't recommend to my 18-year-old sister, cousin, or anyone in my life to stay in a passionless relationship.
No, ever.
At 18. Especially at that young. I feel like, do you know what I rate about you? You can identify things. Like, you've got like a strong sense of self, which I love. But I do think that, like, this ain't it.
No.
Like, you shouldn't have to like dig this deep to find passion.
You're 18. It's not even to like dismiss what it is that you are saying or to like be condescending or patronizing in any way, shape, or form. But this just isn't it for that. Like,
And I say you're 18 as a way to be like, this is why you should be having fun.
Yeah, there's more than
that. And that even adds to my point, because I don't necessarily think it's a lack of passion. I think it's a lack of fun. You're dating someone that's a bit older than you. You're having sex all the time, cool, whatever. But it's like, I feel like you don't feel like you're doing anything that feels
like it's a bit
fun.
Too adulty.
And exactly. So I think that might be the issue. It just feels like a very grown relationship.
Yeah.
And I think at 18, I don't know how much of a grown, like, as in, like, you can have fun. You can, as you know, be in the park. I'm not advising that. But, like, you know, that kind of dumb shit you did when you were younger, you just did silly things. But if someone's a bit older than you, you don't need to do all that.
We'd be sitting on.
They've done it all, exactly. So he doesn't even need, he doesn't feel the need to do all of those little silly things that you did when you were 18 and like when you experimented and you just did dumb shit because again, you were 18, you were having fun, like, you know, you were just doing silly things. So I think maybe it's a passion and also like linked with this element of fun in your relationship that lacks, and that might be because you didn't say how much older he was to you, but that it sounds like he's older, like you said. And I worry about how much older he is when you were 16, but
and I just think as well, going from what you're saying, Tolly, like doing things like in the park, being on a swing and stuff. Sometimes I feel like you don't want to say or mention those kind of fun things to somebody that you're dating who is older because you don't want to seem
immature. Yeah,
exactly. You want to force maturity.
Yeah, exactly. When you date someone older, you feel like you have to force maturity.
And you can't say things like, pull my finger.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what's mad? I do think, because she brought up the her past experience with sexual abuse and stuff, and she was saying, oh, I don't know if I should try and tackle that. But like, you can do two things at the same time. I do think that, like, if you feel like that is something that might be contributing to why you can't be content in a relationship, I think you should definitely seek help if that's available to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can go on with your relationship if that's what you choose to do and seek help at the same time. I don't think it has to be an either or situation. So definitely explore that as well, because you never know. There might be some things in your past that are contributing to this. But I do think the majority of it is what Tolly said. I think it's like, you just want to have fun.
Yeah.
You just want to have a good time, and you're not on the same page clearly because there's a significant age gap. So,
I would, I know you're not going to do it because she said she don't want to, but I would absolutely leave him.
Same. Oh,
and absolutely. And I know it's heartbreaking. And I would say leave him because I don't even think an 18-year-old should be in a serious relationship.
That part. Anyway.
Oh.
If I'm being,
I wish, like, it was illegal until you was 25.
Like, literally, I don't think you should be in a serious relationship at 18 anyway. Exactly. Like, I'm not saying don't date boys and be with boys. Yeah, sure, cool. But you shouldn't be in anything serious. Like, for what?
And having these big, big people
from
problems.
16 to 18. How can I have 16 to 18, 2 years of my young, your funky life, be saying I'm somewhere passionate that lacks passion?
Do you know what happens? I feel like when you kind of peak too soon, by the time you get to 22, you feel so old.
Yeah,
it's like, what now?
Yeah, and then it's like, what's left? Like, you know, you meet those people that are like 24 and they're like, oh my God, like, I feel so old.
Yeah,
so
I feel
much,
like I should be getting married. Yeah, honestly, because you're trying to find passion at 16.
Exactly. These years are so, like, oh my God, they're so crucial and you don't get them back. So please just try and enjoy it. Like, I can't stress that to you enough. I wish I had someone older to be like at 18, at 21, at 25. You're still so young, and live your best life and enjoy it. Don't let some relationship weigh you down. And it's not even like a relationship that you're happy in, because then I would say, okay, you're happy in it. You're not even happy. Like, it's passionless, and don't let it weigh you down. Don't
no,
let a passionless
absolutely
relationship
not. Not at this age, man.
Suck the life out of you. No way. Not exactly. At 18. Cool. Should we move on?
Let's move on.
Cool. Next dilemma. Hey, ladies.
Hey,
you are the best. Well, thank you. Back in November, I reconnected with someone I went to school with. We'll call him Jack.
Okay.
It was an odd match as I was seen as a goody two shoes posho in school, whereas Jack was a bad boy who was kicked out in year 10.
Ooh, scandalous. Bad boy. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? So this reminded me, if you haven't watched Cocaine Cowboys on Netflix, please watch
Cocaine Cowboys?
Yes.
Oh, it's a documentary about cocaine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's got anything to do with Colombia.
Yes.
Oh.
You know your people.
Fast forward 5 years and he pops up in my DMs. At first, I think it's funny and just enjoy the conversation. However, when we finally met up, there was something between us where I just knew he was going to be my boyfriend.
Okay. Oh, I love that.
We dated until the start of April when he came to me and told me he needed to sort himself out, get some savings behind him and a place to live that wasn't his mum's sofa.
Okay,
fair. I didn't want to lose him, but was understanding and supportive, so we took a step back. Regardless, we still spoke most days and always knew he would come back. We always knew we would come back to each other. The spark was too bright to deny it.
Okay. Ooh, sunglasses.
Instead of sorting himself out, though, I saw him fall back into his old bad habits as he moved back into a shared house with his quote-unquote mate that I had convinced him to leave in December. When I say house, it was more of a bando.
Trap and a bando.
I kept trying to get through his head that he wouldn't be able to get anywhere or change anything while being around these people and put into dangerous situations. I was getting worried as I watched him become a product of his environment weeks after I let him go. I should have fought for him.
Because you're Jackie Chan.
Exactly. Are you Annalise Keaton?
Jackie Chan, fight for him for what?
He doesn't want to fight for himself.
Will you not Cheryl Cole?
At the start of May, I woke up to my phone completely blown up with messages from the most random people informing me Jack had got into an altercation with someone who pulled a knife on him.
Jesus.
Damn. Jack managed to get the knife but stabbed the aggressor in the
chest.
Oh, Jack. Right now.
My heart broke. For the next few weeks, and even to this day, I feel so guilty for being so calm about letting him go. I fell in love with this boy almost instantly and couldn't understand why I just allowed him to walk away back into the street life.
Sorry, what's this happening? Why is she trying to...
She is not his probation officer.
This is not your son.
Jack has been through it. When I tell you through it, it's deep. He even went to a counsellor to get help as he started talking about his past counsellor, started crying, and Jack found himself comforting him. The counsellor started crying. He's told me many times the only reason he wanted to take a step back was to better himself for me. He thought I was far too good for him and he needed to make something of himself before he could be with me.
Okay.
This is Jack's third offence, so he is looking at time. His court date isn't until October, and I know I want to be in his life. However, I'm not sure him being my boyfriend throughout the time he is in there is the best move to make. Ideally, I don't want to become a jailbird or be an old mom stroke wife, but the feelings I have for him are so real and more than I've felt for anyone, despite having a 3-year relationship prior to this. When he first called me from prison, I gave it my all to keep our relationship as mates for the long foreseeable he will be in there for. I was dating other people, but if anything, it was disheartening and it makes me think I won't have that spark with anyone else. Mm. After our short phone calls, I also found myself annoyed. I didn't tell him I love him, as I never know the next time we will speak. Ultimately, this made me decide to back off dating, as it wasn't fair to become involved with anyone else while feeling these emotions. I'm 22, and this is the most meaningful relationship I've been in, despite it also being one of the shortest. My life is not lacking anywhere else. I live in a beautiful home, have the funniest friends, a fab family, and run a successful business for myself.
And that's the problem. She doesn't have enough stress in her life. So she thinks that she needs to add stress.
Exactly. People can't just be...
My life is going funky fresh. Let me add,
yeah, exactly.
Let me sprinkle some drama.
It confuses me why I feel so deeply for this man, but it's something I can't deny anymore. What would you ladies do if you found yourself in a situation... I can't ever imagine not answering his calls. And I know he's been through so much pain in his life and that no one's really shown him any love, including his family. When we first started dating, he didn't even like to be cuddled and came across as a little cold sometimes. When I asked him about it, he told me how much he adored me and apologized for coming across this way. He admitted he had never been shown love like this and didn't know how to receive or give it. He really is such a star that has been beaten and bruised by the world around him. And I do feel blessed to have reconnected with him, but literally, why? Laugh out loud. Please give me some wisdom. Thank you for taking the time to read this. So it's about the length, but to be fair, this is part of your job description.
She said, bitches, do your job. She said, I don't give a fuck if this is long.
So I'm going to get this off my chest. Love you all. Hope you have a bright, filled week with smiles and money.
Amen.
That is so jokes.
So much fun.
Said, bitch, I'm going to make you work.
Okay, let me get out of my head in terms of that I wouldn't be the person to date someone in jail because, I mean, I wouldn't. But also, I think the big thing here is you have this, you want to be a hero. You want to save this person. Yeah. You want to be the person to fix them. And I think that is, even if we take the jail part of it, that is a big part of who I was and who I can be, to be fair. Yeah. And I think a lot of people can be that. Mm-hmm. They want to be the person that fixes someone. They want to be the person that solves their issues. Mm-hmm. They want to be their go-to. And especially when you feel like, oh, my life is going well. It's not fair for me to leave this person in the lurch. Let me try to fix them as well. Mm. But when this man said he was going to back off from you when you guys were dating, he was going to go sort his life out, and he didn't sort his life out. That means he didn't pick you.
Yeah.
Period.
He didn't pick you, nor did he pick a better life for himself. So everything that's happened after that fact is things that he did.
Yes.
And I know you say he's been through a lot, and I don't doubt that for a second. Many people have been through a lot, and I know people act out differently and do things differently according to how they, what they've been through, but you're not going to save him.
No, you
don't save him. You don't want to be saved in the words of J. Cole.
Yeah.
So yeah, I honestly think for your own well-being and betterment, don't be in a relationship with someone in jail.
Yeah. Don't put that responsibility on yourself, because you end up not being able to date other people and just live your life freely because there's this guilt that you carry around. Mm. And that isn't your responsibility. Him being in that prison, him not sorting out his life, him going through all of these things, this isn't you. That's
you can't fix him.
Yeah, that's
you've been there before and his life didn't get better. You can't
fix
him.
And you've tried to help him. What's the saying? You can bring hay to the horse, but you can't make the horse
eat it. To the water, but you can't make the water drink the horse. There it is. That's the saying.
But exactly that. You can't. So you've just got to, as Tolly said, you're not going to stop speaking to him, but if... Think deeply.
Yeah, I think you should distance yourself from him. And I know it's like, he doesn't have anyone. But I promise you,
He will find someone.
And also, they will find him someone. Like, as in, like, England can be very, very bad and very dusty. But then they will find him access to things. They will find him. There's resources.
And he's not in the prison on his own.
And that's what you can do. Maybe give... No, but there's true. There's people there as well.
He's got a cellmate.
Yeah.
I mean...
There will be resources. They would have given him a lawyer. They would have given him a counsellor. Like, if he's someone that got kicked out of school in year 10, they have records of this boy's life, very likely. He's probably in the system.
Yeah.
And so his child's in October. So what are you going to do? Wait till October, and then what? They're going to... He stabbed a man.
Exactly. He's going to jail.
And it's not his first offence. He's doing time. So how long is time?
Exactly.
Time, 5 years.
They don't even have an end. There's not even a time.
And next thing you know, you're going to be what? 27, 28. Mm-hmm. And this man's going to come out.
I'm just convinced that she thinks she's in some sort of love and hip hop drug wives. Yeah. Or knife wives. Or stabbing wives.
Knife wives.
Because... You have everything's good in your life, but you're like, I still want this bad boy. Just because it feels like it's exciting. You get to fix this thing and you feel like you get to live out this like drama-filled life of yours. But like, why?
It's not fun, man.
Why do you want to live a drama-filled life?
Next thing you know, you're holding bags of weed.
The thing is,
dating a man in jail is not sensational. It's not sexy.
I just feel like you're just lonely. Like, the thing is, I feel like when people go to jail sometimes and you commit yourself to them, you're also in prison.
You are.
It's also you that's suffering because you love this person. Listen, I get it. I get that you love him. I get all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, scrape it down to absolutely nothing. He's not going to be here. He's going to be in jail.
In jail. Y'all are going to jail.
Like, he's going to jail. Like, do you want to be in that kind of relationship where you don't have someone to hug you at night? Let's just bring it down to the nitty gritty. You don't have someone to hug you at night. You have to have like timed phone conversations. You have to go drive for hours on end to go see him. Ask yourself at 22 years old, is this the kind of life that you want to live? Do you know what I mean? And like Tolly said, you try to save this guy and he chose bad gang. He chose the road over you. Like, and the thing is, people like this, until they seek actual help, like, they're never going to change. And like, sometimes I also feel like he's probably setting himself up to have you so that he's got like his comfort whilst he's locked up. If he really loved you, he would have thought about that, because you said that in the situation, he got the knife, so he apprehended the knife and he still chose to stab the person. Yeah. This is someone that has got deep-rooted issues. And unfortunately, I know you want to be there for him because sometimes, like, we want to be there for someone so we can get our flowers. But you never get your flowers with people like this because at the end of the day, he's obviously committed to kind of like being in the system. I'm sorry. Like, he had the opportunity to fix his life and he chose not to.
And also, like, let's be honest, if I'm being fair to the guy, right? The guy said that, I want to make something of myself before I come back to you. So you're not even like you're not going by his wishes. He doesn't want you to date him when he's in prison.
Yeah,
no, he tried to go away already to fix himself before he came back to you. So to be fair to him, he's tried to be like, yo, I'm not trying to use you for anything. Let me go fix myself and then come back. I want to make something of myself. So this is on you. Want to be a fixer?
Yeah,
and it's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
Oh, like, you can date a guy that's, you know, that's a bit naughty. If he's still spending
a little bit, like, a little bit naughty.
But you don't need this whole, like, going to jail, man. I've never understood how, like, I remember back in the day when I was going to, people used to make that thing sound a bit sexy. Yeah, I want to go see my man in pen. Where?
No, that's not it.
Like,
no, do you know what it is? I feel like some women just want to show their kind of like loyalty.
Yeah, I think that's what she's trying to do.
Yeah, I'm here for you.
She's ride or die.
Ride or die, no matter what. So then when you come out, I'm going to be the one for you. And it's just like, nah, man, it shouldn't have to be this hard.
Anyway, like,
because they'll come out and find someone else and be with them.
Listen, I know like 4 different people, the person's come out and left them. And the thing is, and so they should, because at the end of the day, like, you've been locked up. You want your freedom. Do you know what I mean? So I wouldn't put my life on hold for someone in jail.
And I think that's the exact same point that you made in terms of you're also in jail because you're waiting on
Yeah.
You can't do anything. You can't progress in your life.
You're in mental prison.
Waiting for this person to come out. And I didn't do the crimes. So I ain't doing no time.
Do you know what I mean? And you have to be committed to saying, I want to move on, because otherwise you will be fixated on him and you won't be able to date other people and do all of that. Like, you have to make a decision to be like, this isn't for me. If it were me, I personally wouldn't do it. That's my advice.
No.
I think from the moment I heard about the texts, I was like, ah. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Red flag.
Oh, I'm a
done.
It's my time to be going.
Exactly. Yeah. Pack your bags from now.
Next dilemma. Am I a mug?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm joking.
Hey, Tolly, Audrey, and Milena.
Hey.
Big up, you amazing women, for all that you have achieved in your.
I don't know how to say that word. Illustrious. Whatever, careers. And I pray that God will continue to uplift you guys and all you do.
Amen.
Anyways, I can't believe I'm writing in here, but here we go. That's what they all say. Basically, I started speaking to this girl I met through Twitter at the start of quarantine, April 2020, and it became a genuine friendship where I helped her through a lot of her insecurities, and I had love for her as if she was my little sister because I empathized with a lot of trauma she had went through in her childhood.
Okay.
Anyways, fast forward a year later, and I sense that she's trying to take me a little bit more seriously, but I wasn't in the right frame of mind for a relationship, and I was still entertaining quick flings here and there, so I didn't want to be another guy to hurt her because of the type of friendship that we had was really important to me. And I didn't want to jeopardize it, so I didn't show any affection back so she would get the hint, and eventually she did.
Okay.
So here's where I fucked up.
Oh.
I caught feelings like a dickhead. And she must have sensed this. And so she began to reciprocate the feelings, but things never went further than sex. Anyways, a couple weeks later, we were FaceTiming and I must have went to work and we were still on FaceTime. So she forgets that I'm still on the phone and I can hear her. So she's talking to this guy that hurt her a couple months back about talking about, I want to come see you. I can come over whenever you want. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Oof. It got freaky.
Oh, you listen to your girl have phone sex.
But why didn't he hang up?
Exactly.
At this point, I was too far gone and it would have been very awkward if I told her I could hear everything. So I just did the, oh, mad, you're still here at the end of my shift. Pretending.
Shift?
What kind of battery life do you have?
Exactly.
Anyway, okay.
End of my shift. Oh, mate. Like, I didn't hear shit. It was wrong to eavesdrop in her conversation, but I felt like this happened for a reason because I was being taken for a mug. I'm hurt at this point because literally a few hours ago, I was talking to one of her friends about trying to make her my girl. Anyway, she's still... Anyway, she's still giving off the impression that I'm the only guy in the picture, but I know otherwise. My dilemma is, should I just dead it or should I just take her seriously with the impression that she'll cut this other guy off that hurt her? I'm vulnerable and hurt right now.
Your
opinion means a lot. Thanks.
Sorry. Let me not say that.
Yeah, Nikki, is that you? Am I the villain?
Am I the villain? Am I the villain? Question I ask myself every day. You like her, innit? But the thing is, here's the thing, right? She hasn't done anything wrong because you're not in a exactly. serious relationship. You said you didn't go anything past sex, right? And then you kind of cooled down.
Yeah.
And she's still talking to other people.
Mm. I'm sorry, man, do this all
exactly.
the fucking
and you're
time.
Saying that she's acting that to me that I'm the only guy. How should she be acting?
Exactly.
She should like, be listening. She should be telling you about
Do you not act the same way?
What's the other option? She's not going to list everything everyone else that she's dating to you. So no. I don't think she's doing anything wrong.
No, I don't think she's doing anything wrong. And you should have locked off that call from time.
Exactly. You did it to yourself.
Yeah, you obviously wanted to trigger yourself. But I think that in terms of like, making her your girl, I don't cut her off at all. I definitely don't think you should cut her off, but I think maybe fall back a little bit.
No, maybe wait. Really? Why?
Yeah, I feel like he should wait before asking to make her, because clearly, because the thing is, the only reason why I say that is because if he was eavesdropping on the FaceTime conversation and they were just like having sex talk, then that's one thing. But she was like in her feelings about it. Do you know what I mean? So if I knew that there was someone I liked and I knew that they had strong feelings for someone else, yeah, I don't know if I would want to try and be in a relationship with them.
Yeah,
but 100%. I wouldn't lock them off. I wouldn't lock it off. I would just carry on seeing them for a little bit, but I would just park the relationship thing for now and just see how they move, because
it's too much of a risk.
Yeah, that's a bit like, if I heard someone declaring their love and saying that they were hurt for someone else, I don't know that I would want to proceed with a relationship.
And also what I do find funny was the fact that he was just like, I was thinking of making her my girl. What, she doesn't want you to be her man?
But also there was this state of like, that.
Yeah.
Well,
what if I don't want to be your girl? Exactly. Like, you can't make me something. And also, but I think I say that to say, she said to her, like, I want to see if we can take this seriously. I want to actually try. I want to exclusively date you. Do you know what I mean? Propose that to her first. I'm saying that, well, I was going to make her my girl. She didn't know that.
I just feel like stuff like that is so manipulative, because I feel like men only do those things when a woman, quote unquote, fucks up.
Because
here was the prize and you've taken that away from you. Fuck off. Guess what? I didn't even want to be your fucking girl.
I didn't want to be fucking being.
That's why I'm fucking hurt about
someone else.
Hot hair, bruv.
Yeah, she was proper crying over a next guy
boy. Yeah. And on FaceTime. Like, you've made her feel like it was a casual sex thing. When she first liked you, you didn't like her back, so she fell back. And then you felt cool feelings and she came back, and now it's just a sex thing. And now you're telling me you're going to make me your girl. I didn't know that was a part of the arrangement. From what I knew, we were just beaten.
Exactly.
What was she? She must have been FaceTiming on her laptop then, because she
I don't even understand anything that happened. Yeah, I made her FaceTiming on their laptops and then she's had her in the background.
Yeah.
So hang up.
I don't like to trigger myself. I would have locked off.
As soon as
Now I have to leave you.
Exactly. I don't want to know.
Tell you how much I cannot trigger myself. As in,
I can't.
As soon as I find something out, mute. Exactly. Lock. Like, as in, like, I don't like anything that will make me sad. Same. Like, I don't need it. Exactly. And if I ever go back on it after I've muted, it's because I'm doing self-harm.
Yeah, exactly. It's because I want to be.
Yeah, it's because I want to be upset that day. That day I was like, go and see. Because aside from that, never. As soon as I find that this person's dating, mute.
Exactly. Mute all the mutuals. Keep it moving.
It's not me that's going to upset myself. For same. What?
Exactly. I'm not
talk less of him and being on the phone to another person
to the end of a shift.
And then they're listening.
Do you know what? I might listen. You know,
I'm not listening.
Because I'm so fucking in.
If I had my suspicions, then but the suspicions are already there, innit?
I like my.
But if everything's hunky dory, nah.
I'm not listening. As soon as I say, you're right, babe. Excuse me, I'm here.
Hello. Your FaceTime is still on, hon.
FaceTime still on, hon. See you later.
Relax.
No, I love me.
Me too.
Now, for the both of us, if you do love me, I will love me. It's okay. You're not triggering me for shit. Right, next dilemma. These are quite long, so we've only done three.
Yeah, they're proper intense.
Okay, next one. I accidentally started dating my ex.
How do you accidentally do this? Okay, let's hear it.
I accidentally started dating my ex's best friend. Hi, everyone.
Okay.
Hi. Love the podcast. It really helps me throughout the week, especially when it's been busy and serious. I can listen to the pod. You guys always know how to cheer me up with the banter. I've recently taken some of your previous advice and split from my ex. Great. You guys highlighted that he was essentially emotionally abusive, and it turns out all of my friends thought the same. But now I face an entirely new dilemma.
Boy.
Oh, no, so after the split from my ex, let's call him Sam, I was just looking for something casual just to, why couldn't you just be by yourself for a bit? Something casual just to get my mind off things. I started using dating apps like Tinder, which is a lot of empty fun. I stumbled on this really cute guy's profile. Let's call him Aaron. I liked it and we ended up matching. We got talking and eventually met up. Initially, it was great sex. And now and again, we would just go for coffee. But we found ourselves talking more and more and just enjoying each other's company. Okay. So right now, we are pretty much dating. But something weird came up. So we started to talk about ex-partners and I brought mine up, speaking about how he treated me and the trauma it caused me. So it takes me a while to reopen up. I mentioned his name and what he does and he, oh God.
Oh no.
He then says, wait, does Sam live in
fake
location? Hackney. I said, yeah, he does. And then he described him to a T, which made me visually panic. He then said, oh my goodness, you are that ex he spoke about hurting. God. I asked him what was going on and how he knew him. And then he told me that he was friends from Portsmouth who only came to London in the summer and now he's here permanently. And then I remembered my ex mentioning this friend and briefly showed me a picture, but not really memorizing it because it did not seem significant. Aaron said he thinks that Sam may not have introduced us because I was definitely Aaron's type and maybe felt like I would get taken.
That's very problematic, but okay.
And I'd met a lot of friends, but not Aaron. I asked him how Sam doesn't know we were together. And he said, since the breakup with me, he's been an absolute mess and didn't even rain on his parade with his great date in life.
That will make me feel good.
But this is going so well. I'm not sure if there's some sort of bro code for this. But yeah, Sam hurt me and I don't know how he could face his friend and his ex being together. Am I overthinking this? What happens when he has to tell him? And I don't want to come in between friendships. So this is long.
This is the problem. This is the problem when we are so afraid to spend time with ourselves to heal. Because had she have just taken that time and not been looking for momentarily comfort, then she wouldn't be in this position. And this is why it's so important to just take a second.
Yeah, this is all very, very mad.
I don't even think that's the issue, you know. I do think she should have spent time alone or whatever. But I think at the matter of hand, it's not the fact that she didn't spend time alone sort of thing. I think the matter of hand is
she's here now.
She's dating now. Like she was gonna date regardless. It just so happened by coincidence.
But
it's this person
this
sort of thing.
Like, man.
Yeah, and
allegedly.
And if it was me, I'd drop it.
Same.
That is too much.
You're friends with someone that causes me trauma. Mm-hmm. Like, that's your best mate. You're going to be around. And if we ever become a thing, I might have to see him again. Nah.
This is way too much drama.
Yeah.
For people that's
meant to be casual.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah.
Nah, I'll drop it.
Yeah, it's way too much, like, politics. Yeah, it's way too much politics because it's not as if this is a casual friend and it's not as if you're a casual ex. By the sound of things, and not that you should take his feelings into consideration. We don't know why you broke up, but
he was emotionally abusive.
Oh yeah, that's a good enough reason. You're that ex and he's the best friend. I just think it's just way too sticky.
Close.
And I think that for someone that was like quite toxic,
yeah.
I personally wouldn't want to be in proximity to anybody
at
in
all.
His life. Do
at
you know what I mean?
All.
Like, I don't want to be around your friends, let alone date them. I just want to move on because all of that stuff is quite traumatic and I don't want a constant reminder of that toxic relationship.
Yeah.
The best friend is going to be that. Do you know what I mean? And also, if he's that person, you don't know how he's going to react. It's just not worth the ag.
Yeah, it's not. I think it's another example of that putting yourself first and avoiding drama.
Yeah.
Like, I know everybody likes it. Like, it doesn't have, there's enough TV programs that are really dramatic that it doesn't have to be infused into your own life.
Exactly.
Like, cut it off.
And that kind of drama is exciting, I promise you. Not that.
She feel like, you're getting back to him and you've got a boyfriend. Yeah.
Once you guys are in the crux of your relationship, this is going to be it's going to cause you more problems
than
that's worth. So I personally
and more sadness.
Exactly. I personally would just allow it.
Yeah, that did it. Yeah. And if it's like payback that you want, you've already had it. You fuck his best friend and make them yes men. You've already done that.
Exactly. And the friend said that he's been devastated since you left.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, you've done the revenge. Yeah. Keep it moving now. Don't be some long thing and make yourself upset. Move on now.
Yeah, no. Don't upset yourself because these two will continue to be friends and you're going to be the one that's left in the lurch.
Exactly, no.
Dead it now before you get like proper deep feelings for him.
Dead it.
I agree. Okay.
There's many more Tinder profiles.
Exactly, in the sea.
You can do
the
more
net.
Swiping.
Cool.
Next dilemma.
He had me crying in the club.
Oh, been there.
But now I want him back. Is this my first heartbreak?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll tell you. Hi, ladies. First, I'd like to congratulate you all on your success and I wish you many more.
Amen.
You guys are honestly like the big sisters I've never had. Aww. Let me get into it. I'm an 18-year-old African girl and I was talking to this 19-year-old white
boy. You cried in a club because of a white man?
Imagine. Let's call him Ben. Prior to this, I'd never really been interested in white boys, but he had a certain je ne sais quoi sprinkled with a bit of ghetto,
with a little spice.
And he seemed like such a nice person, or so I thought. Oh, dun, dun, dun. A-level results day was a few days ago, and to celebrate the fact that I got into uni and I'm on my way into becoming a pharmacist, I went out clubbing with my friends. Here I ran into one of my friends. Let's call her Femi. I said hi to Femi, and the first thing she said to me was, "Are you talking to Ben?" Not even hi back, you know. I said yes, and she continued to say that she has a lot to tell me and led me to the club toilet.
Aww,
oh my God, it's bringing back so many memories. Long story short, she came to me as a woman, telling me about how after they met at my birthday party in my house in June, just before Ben and I started talking, they continued to link and became fuck buddies.
Jesus.
Damn.
Benny.
Ben is working in a different city right now. He left a few weeks ago, and Femi told me the last time they fucked was at his house the day before he left.
Jesus.
I was also with him the day before he left. She continued to tell me that after this, he ghosted her and heard through the grapevine that him and I are talking. She was waiting for you, boy.
She could not wait.
At this point, I was very overwhelmed. Femi told me everything in way too much detail.
Of course she did.
Continuing to call him a dog and to say I should stay away from him. But if I really like him, to continue talking to him if I want to. Mm-hmm. That sounds passive aggressive. Bearing in mind, I was very drunk. The room was spinning. My ears were ringing and the girl's bathroom was loud as fuck. Femi left the bathroom and then I started crying in the club while looking for my friends to tell them everything. Looking back now, I can't believe I cried in the club over a white man.
See, yes,
and
we've been there. Not a white man.
I know, not for a white man.
Anyways.
I ain't been there.
He's another white man.
Not all the way there. Anyways, after airing his messages the whole night, I confronted him about the situation with Femi. Not gonna lie, I was willing to let it slide because at the end of the day, we weren't together and I do have a sneaky link on the side.
Okay.
But my friends were egging me on and telling me not to let him take me for a dickhead. I mean, he did apologize, but I feel like he just said sorry for the sake of it and he didn't understand why I was mad. The only thing that really bothered me was the fact that he really fucked my friend and I don't think I could ever get with someone who has been with a friend of mine. The next day...
Femi is not your friend, by the way.
Femi will get with him even though he's fucked you.
Femi's not your friend.
The next day, although he kept trying to explain himself, I removed him on all social medias after being egged on by my friends. We'll see a theme emerging here. After being egged on by my friends and thinking maybe he is taking me for an idiot and tried to convince myself that I'm over him and onto the next. But I'm not. I'm not even going to lie. I do miss talking to him, but I can never get over the sadness I felt the next day, crying on my way to work while listening to sad music on the bus.
Been
pathetic,
there.
I know. Been there. Not at all. Been there. And thinking about all the things he did with Femi. He was never very sexual with me, but I did really see both of us opening up, and I never open up to anybody, and I think this hurt me as well. In conclusion, part of me wants to take him back, but part of me says I could never get with him since he has been with Femi. I'm seeing Femi has moved on to the next boy and is living her best life, but no matter how hard I try, I'm still thinking about him a lot. She didn't need to do all that. Nah. I've never been heartbroken before. Is this what it feels like? And if so, how do I get over it? Because I cannot handle feeling like this with a sick face emoji. Or did I overreact and cut him off for no reason? Apologies if this dilemma is long, but I'd really appreciate anything you have to say because I've never experienced anything like this before. And I'd like to be over this boy before I start uni in September. By the way, his uni is very near to the one I'm starting at. And we have quite a few mutuals. Many thanks, your little sis.
Aww.
Baby girl.
Femi is bad vibes. She didn't need to do all of that.
She really is.
My girl
vibes.
Came like Lily to Millie on Love Island. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just, spare me the fucking details.
I just don't get it because, like, I've been in clubs many a times with someone who've seen the same person. Never have I thought, let me take this girl to the toilet.
Exactly.
And see, like, you're right, love. You're sure. Yeah. Everybody lived their life, innit?
Like, the thing is, she took her to the toilets because I need you to hear every single
no
thing.
No one is in a relationship with this man.
Yeah.
We're all living La Vida Loca.
Yeah.
And Femi's living as well. So why the fuck did she do that?
She's a hater. I mean, Femi aside, that is not your friend. I think we should definitely
reiterate. So if you don't want to be with him because he's fucked Femi and Femi's your friend, Femi's not your friend.
She's not your friend at all. So she is out of the equation. I guess it's like whether you can trust him or not. But then again, at the same time, you guys weren't together. This happened before you guys started chatting.
I don't mean to predict the future, but she'll be fine. They'll go to uni. Mm. They'll meet up at some party and they'll fuck again.
Yeah, definitely.
Or they'll lips or something will happen.
Yeah, she's not over this. But regardless, you're going to be fine because you're going to uni. I promise you, when you land on the uni grounds.
And then you find that fresh meat.
Mate.
That is the hill we need to tell you about. And here's the thing. Yeah, that's this is what you've got to look forward to. Like, this summer might feel like it's going to suck because you feel sad or whatever, whatever. But, like, please lean into the fact that you're about to start something new.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are you going to be around new people you've never met before, you're studying something new, you're excited about trying to be a pharmacist. You feel grown. If you're moving out of home, it's the first time you feel like you are by yourself. Yeah. There's no, like, you don't have to be home at a certain time. Exactly. You have your own room. You have all these people around you who are sharing these new experiences with you. There's going to be so many Bens. Mm-hmm. There's going to be so many Yinkers. There's so many mm-hmm. Adays. There's going to be so many Tolus. There's going to be so many variations. There's going to be a Carlos there, bruv. There's going to be a Muhammad. There's going to be so many different variations that you are going to have the field day. And if it's the white men you like, rugby team.
Exactly.
Every uni has them. Bam. They all wear chinos when they go liquid and envy. Like, you are going to have the time of your life. So trust me, it feels awful. Now, even me, I went into uni in a relationship. I had a great time.
Right.
Like, so I assure you, you will be okay. And it's okay. You're not pathetic. People have cried in the club. You were hurt. You like this guy. You opened up to him. You probably thought it was more than what it was, sort of thing. I do think that... And again, this is an age thing. You learn it. Take time and make your decisions for yourself. Don't minister and be like, my friends egged me and my friends told me to do this.
Yes.
Do things that you want to do because then it feels like you're more active in your life rather than just doing things. And then your friends don't feel what you're feeling. They're just like, the next second for a dickhead, just do this, blah, blah, blah. So it's not the end of the world. And I do think it's worth remembering that if you are not exclusively with someone or in a relationship with someone, I don't think you should expect loyalty. Respect, of course. Mm-hmm. Always just expect respect. Mm-hmm. I don't think you should expect loyalty.
Nah, 1,000,000%. Because you just end up hurting yourself. And I feel like with expecting loyalty, it's like you put this pressure on that person and there's so many expectations there. And then when they don't meet those expectations, you literally just hurt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And it's just like, oh, why the fuck did I do that?
You need to go for all that.
But I feel like the same predictions, to be honest.
Yeah, they'll see each other at uni.
And if that's the case, can you email us back, please?
Yeah, they'll know what happens.
I think with this situation, I don't think there's really a right or wrong. Like, if you choose to forgive him and give him another chance,
maybe
if you start seeing him again, you might have to put some stipulations down because it sounds like you guys just like connected and whatever. But now, like, obviously your circles are small, but people talk. Let this be a lesson to him and to you. Do you know what I mean? And you can say that. Yeah. You can be like, do you know what, if you're doing shit, just know it's gonna come back to me, so we can continue, blah blah blah. I don't think there's a right or wrong. If you choose to go back there and give him a second chance, I wouldn't be mad. If you feel like you've already started the process and you want to start afresh at uni, mm-hmm. the options are endless for you, hun. But everything that you feel with heartbreak is normal, unfortunately.
And the longer the relationship is,
the worse it's going to feel. So if it feels like this now over someone that you've just like been seeing a couple months or whatever, it only gets worse. So I'm just reminding you. Like, however, yeah, go follow your heart.
And concentrate on your new start, man. You need a very exciting time. Exactly. Like, concentrate
on that, babes. There's so much to be excited for. If I could go back and go to uni...
Mate, uni was the best time of my life, child.
Literally.
Great time.
But yeah.
Last dilemma?
Last dilemma.
Let's go, baby.
Best dick of my life.
Ooh.
Hi, you're ladies. The best. Mm-hmm. Hope you're all doing well. Firstly, I want to say how much I love the podcast. You're all uniquely hilarious, beautiful, and inspiring, and I look forward to listening to you every Wednesday. I wish you all continued success, good health, and happiness for the future.
Amen.
Now for the dilemma. Sorry if it's long. None of you are fucking sorry, man. I'm 25 and I've been with my boyfriend for 5 years. He is my best friend, funny, good looking, and he has a job.
He has a good job.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's a good job.
That's how you know my standards are fucking through the floor, mate. He looks after himself, has a good body, and is always so thoughtful with gifts and treats for me.
Sounds great.
To top it off, my family absolutely love him, and I can say with no doubts that he truly loves me.
Okay.
The past few years of the relationship haven't been easy. The sex is boring and I never feel in the mood for it anymore.
Cheap.
This is an issue I've raised with him multiple times, but it always ends up with him getting offended and saying it's my fault for never wanting to have it. We've always been the type to argue when drunk, but I've noticed a lot more sober arguments in the recent years. And he says he feels like I've stopped making an effort with him. We've had a few big arguments recently, which have ended in ultimatum chats.
These two paragraphs are so contradictory.
Where we've decided that we would stay together and try and make it work. Each time we go back to being really good again, but after a while, thoughts of being single, past sexual encounters, and having my own freedom creep back in. Then, whilst on a night out recently...
She cheated, did she?
I bumped into an old squeeze.
Ooh.
Who I'd been casually sleeping with before my boyfriend and I got together.
Okay.
And we got together. Let's call him Johnny. To give you some context, Johnny's dick was sensational.
This sounds so wigged. My dad's name's Johnny. Oh my God.
Oh, let's call him something else.
Yeah, it's making me awkward.
Ben.
Thank you, please. Ben's dick was sensational. Okay.
The biggest I've ever seen, and he was an absolute freak in bed.
I want a freak in the morning.
We fucked in every corner of his room, and it was dirty. The best sex of my life.
Just
this
like
sex
that.
Was so good, it had me dreaming about it.
Dreaming,
even throughout my current relationship. Now, girls, when just I saw Ben, I can only describe the state of utter shock I was in, as I was completely dickmatized.
He didn't even answer you yet.
As you would say. We had a flirty chat and he asked me if I wanted to come back to his. I told him I had a boyfriend, but the whole time, all I could think about was how badly I wanted to go back with him and ride his giant dick.
Oh, sis.
This is erotica.
Honey.
It pains me to say it, but I haven't felt that way about my boyfriend in a long time. So my dilemma is this a normal reaction? Is it something I should just ignore? Or is this my body telling me I don't want to be in a relationship anymore? Do I stay and try and make it work? Or do I leave and live my best single life? I'd really appreciate some advice on this, girls. Thanks so much. And love you all like big sisters.
Oh, do you know what it is? Yeah. Once you've cheated, it's time to go, really.
She hasn't cheated. Though.
She hasn't cheated.
Oh, she didn't stop fucking.
No, she didn't fucking.
No. Wait, she didn't? No, wait, hang on. What?
She just mesmerized and just thinking about it.
That was her thinking.
Yeah.
I thought she actually did it.
No, okay.
She can't stop thinking about his.
How does she know his dick is big and stuff?
Because she fucked before. Okay, fine. That just makes my advice completely null and void. So maybe come back to me.
Okay, so don't cheat according to the streets.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in a relationship. I know he's a nice guy and he's lovely or whatever. I think you just want to have really good sex. I don't think you want to have a good time at the moment.
And you deserve that.
That's okay. I mean, I feel like bad sex or not being sexually compatible is a good enough reason to leave someone.
100%. Because that means you'll never be satisfied ever for the rest of your life. And then you'll end up cheating for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that like this, all this like fantasizing and stuff is actually a representation of a bigger problem, the fact that you're just not happy.
Because it's not just Johnny. I'm sorry, it's not just Ben. Someone else will come along that you might want to fuck or whatever.
Exactly.
And if you're not willing to be like... And like you said, you've brought it up to your partner quite a few times to be like, I'm not happy here sexually. It's like, no, it's all your fault, blah, 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 blah. And it's really hard on because if someone is good everywhere else.
You feel
everywhere
guilty.
Else, it feels insane to be like, oh, it's just sex and I'll just masturbate. I'll just deal with whatever we deal with. But I do think it's a big part of intimacy, connection, of especially if it's a big deal for you. Some people, it's not that big a deal for them. They can cope with not having great sex. But if for you, it forms intimacy, it informs you about your own body, about his body, makes you feel closer, makes you feel good. That's a good enough reason to be like, I'm not enjoying this part of our relationship. So it's either you let me go fuck other people and get my kinks there and get my shit and giggles there, or we break up.
Exactly.
I think if it was like amazing, mind-blowing sex before and they're just going through a drought, then I would be like trying to work on it, talk about it. But it seems like that's not ever been the case.
Definitely.
And like Tolly said, if this is something that is important to you and that's a way that you feel fulfilled and satisfied and you're not getting that, then I think that's an absolutely warranted excuse to leave.
Like, yeah, because sex is important. Otherwise, you're just roommates. Otherwise, you're just friends. Do you know what I mean? If you're not having that connection, and if you both don't agree that, like, if you're not on the same page about it, yeah, I think that also the lack of sex is heightening your fantasy.
Do you know what I mean?
It sounds to me like, because the description in the email
Johnny
about...
Johnny might not even that big. Maybe he's not even
that
big.
Exactly, it sounds like you've got, like... You're actually going through it.
It's
like,
that thing when you haven't
it.
Had to make football, it's like, no, let's say, like, after, like, I want this thing, and you eat it. Let's say, like, do you know, like, how you always want McDonald's after a night out?
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I cannot wait. When and then you have it, it's like,
it's cold and
so. Yeah, it's like,
exactly. So I think that that's what's leading to this as well. I think that you've tried with your man, like, I feel like you've tried. And I do think that that's an option. Like, I do kind of think, like, I genuinely don't really agree with ultimatums, but something like this, I think it's worth, like, saying, listen, I need to get off. And if you're not going to do that for me, I might have to get my, because you never know, maybe he,
maybe he wasn't,
he might be, yeah, yeah, he might be open-minded to it. Like, it might be, it's definitely worth a conversation.
Yeah, like, relationships can be in the context of what you guys make it. It doesn't have to be a, oh, like, this is how society sees and what you're meant to do. So maybe 100%, try it.
100%. But yeah, I think that fantasizing about Ben's big dick, it's just a fantasy. Like, don't beat yourself up about that.
Big dick, BBD.
You haven't actually acted on it, so... Yeah, don't beat yourself up for that. But you need to just give your boyfriend, like, I personally would have one final conversation with my man, and if he's not willing to budge and he's not willing to do anything about it, I probably would start packing up my load, personally.
Yeah. Because his load ain't shooting.
Exactly. It really ain't. Shoot up.
Tank is empty.
Right, my loves, that is it.
That is it.
That is it for this episode of Your Receipts. We hope that even if you didn't attend a dilemma, when you were able to find some sort of resolution in whatever it is you're going through. Yeah, thanks very much for listening. I've been your girl, Tony T.
This episode is brought to you by Spotify. Just call me Audrey.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
Bye.